Thank you so much to both of you. So today, this is Mothering Sunday, and I'm always aware that Mother's Day is a day of mixed emotions for many people. While most of us will have good memories associated with our mothers, others of us won't. And some people may have lost their mothers when they were still quite young, or have had a very difficult relationship with their mother. And for others, there's going to be pain around not being able to be a mother. Or we might have feelings of guilt or regret about the way we've parented. I know that when we think of God as Father, there are similar issues that come up for us. So today, as we think about that maternal side of God, and try to look, and we're going to have a look at some verses associated with that, what I'd like to think about is a person that you do admire as a mother. Some of the qualities that you see in her, and maybe reflect on those as we think about that side of God. I forgot to put my slides up for you. Did some lovely slides. Here we go. We think mostly of God as Father, but there are also references in the Bible to the mothering side of God, and I just thought I'd read you a few of them. Hosea chapter 11, verses 3 and 4 says this: "Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk, I who took them in my arms, but they didn't know that I healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down to them and fed them." Or Isaiah 66, 13: "As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you." And Isaiah 49: "Can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even though they may forget, yet I will not forget you." Now, anyone who is a parent will know that there are times of sheer delight when we marvel at every step that our child takes, and there are moments of anger and frustration when we see them messing things up or passing up on great opportunities. And there are moments of anguish when we see them going through really tough situations, especially when they're adults and there's nothing we can do to change that situation. We can only walk alongside them as much as they'll let us in. And I think that God feels the same way about us. I was trying to think this morning about situations I've been through with some of my children. I was thinking about my son Dan, who's married to Hannah, who you met the other day. Dan is possessed with a very, very good brain. He was very bright. He just whizzed through school. O levels, A levels were not a problem to him. And then he went off to university and he absolutely hated it. It was a complete disaster. He was really sad. He just couldn't get on there. And after a year, he decided to quit. And I think at that point, I think I realised that I had lots of dreams for him, things that I thought he would want to do. And of course, they all came crashing down. And he was really quite lost for quite a while. He didn't really know where he was going. He got a job at a church. He started to do some bookkeeping and things for them. And then he did a little bookkeeping course. And then gradually, he worked out for himself what he wanted to do. He met Hannah, they got married, and then he embarked on this accountancy training course, which 10 years later he has just finished. And it was a hard route to take, certainly not what I would have wanted for him. He's had to work at his job all day and then study all evening, and particularly through lockdown, that's been really hard, being on the computer all day and then have a quick break for tea and then back on the computer. But he's just taken his last exam. And all through that time, you know, Phil and I, we've just supported from a distance, you know, helped them out with a little bit of finances and just lots of encouragement, really. And that's what you do as a parent, isn't it? When they're adults, you can't change it, but you just walk there and support them in their decision making. In our two passages today, we see some of the joys and pains of parenthood reflected. Hannah suffered the anguish of not being able to have children, perhaps something that some of you listening can identify with. and then the joy of being given a son, followed by the loss of taking him to the temple and giving him to Eli when he was still very young, in obedience to the promise that she had made to God. Mary and Joseph had the joy and excitement of Jesus' birth, with all those promises about who he was and what he would bring about. But also Mary had to suffer the anguish of seeing her beloved son die on the cross. We know that God loves us. We know from Psalm 139 that God is with us even when we're formed in the womb. Before we're even born, he knows us and has a purpose for our lives and rejoices with us in every good thing that happens in our lives, every positive step that we take. But we also know that he weeps with us for the sadnesses that we face and the dark places that we go through. As a parent of adults, the hardest thing I've found is when my children don't talk to me. However difficult things are for them, I'd rather know what's going on and be able to walk alongside them and be there with them in those times. But they have to choose to let me in. When they let me in, then I can comfort them and help them to walk through those things. I was thinking about when we have very little children. When they're sort of, particularly when they're say two and they're just learning to be able to do things themselves, and their constant refrain is, me do it. And when, you know, you want to put a coat on them or you want them to get their shoes on and you're in a hurry, but you've got to wait, haven't you? You've got to let them do it themselves. And it's so frustrating sometimes, especially when you're late for school and they want to take their time to do it. Or what about teenagers? I was remembering when we went to Wales once. We all went for a walk up a mountain. I think his godmother was with us. And we bought the children nice, sturdy kind of walking boots or trainers type things. But for whatever reason, he did not want to put them on. I think probably because I suggested he put them on. And I said to him, you're going to ruin your shoes. But that was it. We had one pair of ruined shoes. And you can't make them do what they don't want to do. And I think we are often like that with God, aren't we? We often go to places of pride with God and we act a bit like stubborn children, desperate just to do things our own way and not allow God to help us. We're going to be approaching Easter in a few weeks' time when we're going to be thinking about the ultimate sacrifice that God had to make as a parent, when he sent his only son to die for us. I wonder how he felt when Jesus was at Gethsemane crying out to him, my Father, if this is possible, take this cup from me, but yet not my will, but yours. Or on the cross when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? We see that parental relationship at its hardest and its best. God has to allow Jesus to go through that pain. He can't take away that pain. And he has the extra pain of knowing that he's the one that's asking this of his son and that Jesus is doing this as an act of obedience. Of course, he also knows the outcome, the joy and the freedom for all people that comes and will come from that sacrificial act. In fact, Jesus' death on the cross is the culmination of centuries of pain that God has endured as a parent to the children of Israel, rescuing them time and again, only to see them walking away from him every single time until he realizes there's only one way to bring people into that full relationship with him for all time. And that's through sending Jesus into the world to pay the price for our sins, all the things we do wrong that separate us from God. And as we celebrate Easter, we're going to be celebrating the risen Christ who has defeated death and sin and through whom we can have that perfect relationship with God, who is both our Heavenly Father and Mother, God who longs to nurture and care for us as a mother does and to comfort us when we're going through tough times, if we will only turn to him and let him in. As a mother comforts her child, So I will comfort you, it says in Isaiah 66. And I love the obedience of Hannah in this story. In the same way that Jesus was obedient when he cried out to God, "Yet not my will, but yours." So Hannah was obedient. And we know that her son, her baby Samuel, went on to be one of the great prophets and leaders of the Old Testament, advisor to Saul and David. As children, we learn to trust and obey our parents because we know that they love us and want the best for us. As this verse from Isaiah 50 reminds us, "Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of his servant? Let the one who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on their God." It's a hard but important lesson for us to be learning, to trust and obey God, to trust that his care for us and understanding of who we are run deep. As children of our loving God in heaven, we can step out in obedience to things he has in store for us. I wanted to give you a moment now to think about your relationship with God, and in particular, how good you are at letting him into all of your life, at allowing him to comfort you when times are hard, or to share with you in the good times. Do you keep God at arm's length, or is he right by your side? I'm going to give us a little moment now to have some reflection, and in that time, you might want to tell him about something difficult you're going through right now, to allow him to be with you in this moment. Or you might want to be quiet and listen for a moment while he affirms you and tells you how precious you are to him. Let's pray. Father God, we confess the times we've shut you out in anger or frustration or stubbornness to do things our own way. Thank you that you have kept on loving us through everything. Please help us to keep walking with you and reaching out to you in those moments of darkness and pain. Thank you for the way you mother us and you give us your love and care. Thank you that you love each person you've created perfectly and completely, and that each one of us is precious to you. Amen.